From Capital Public Radio in Sacramento, this is Insight Music. I'm Beth Ruyak. Jamesy is the new stage name of a familiar face on the Sacramento music scene. He grew up in South London and relocated to Roseville as a teenager. A 2014 stint on NBC's The Voice as James Cavern drew attention locally and nationally, which Jamesy recognizes as a step on his musical journey, but not the destination. Now he tours the world with Hobo Johnson and the Lovemakers, and he's releasing his debut EP, Moments, this month. He also has a special art installation and a series of shows, open mics, and community gatherings at the Ice Blocks in Midtown Sacramento. Jamesy sat down with Insight producer Cody Drabble to talk about meeting Frank Lopes, producing the Moments EP, and the decision to change his stage name.
Honestly, it was just a return to reminding myself why I do what I do. And by that, I mean why I play music. The interesting position that you can find yourself in sometimes when you are fortunate enough to be providing for yourself by way of what you love to do is you start compromising, start doing things that you have to do as opposed to doing things that you want to do, right? Having that realization and about myself kind of reminded me like, man, you need to remember why you even started playing in the first place, you know? And so for me, it goes back to like childhood. It goes back to like when I first was exposed to music and what it made me feel and why I would turn to music in the first place. And to be honest, I turned to music to escape life, right? Like most people do. And in short, it was therapy. So Jamesy was actually my childhood nickname growing up.
Did like, the nickname come from your family or your friends or something
it's
else?
It's just, I think it was just, it was a little bit of both. More friends than anything. I would never be called Jamesy at home. And so it's kind of cool because switching to that name and being called that now, I literally feel this kind of instant shock of like nostalgia and childhood, which for me is like this reminder as an adult to remember what it was like to feel like when you were a kid. People say it all the time is like that childhood side of yourself where you're just willing and you're kind of fearless and you just try things, silly or not, you know, and you're not taking yourself that seriously at that point in your life because you're discovering the world is something that I feel like is really important to hold on to.
Were you leaving behind some kind of baggage with using your regular name and taking a stage name? What was the baggage?
Oh, my God. Just like the whole first two-thirds of like pursuing music, everything from, which don't get me wrong, I don't look back at this time period and think, oh, my God, like I regret it. Not at all. It's just
because it got you to this
moment.
It's
gotten me to where I am now, absolutely. To be completely transparent, just the working gigs, right? Like, those are always tough. Anyone who plays music for a living knows that those bar gigs and those corporate gigs where you're sitting there and you're playing 2 to 3 hours of other people's music, it's a soul sucker, you know? The Voice, I'm trying to scrub that from my name for ages because nothing against The Voice and I don't regret being on that show and I understand why the allure, totally get it, but as the person, and I think anyone who's been on that show can attest to this, when you're done with that show, you're over it.
You've been through the ringer.
You've been through it. You're over it. You're moving on. But like, I get it. To the average person, and I know that sounds a little pretentious, but to the average person who literally they only know what they see on the TV, it seems like this massive thing. And it is. It totally is. But to have to talk about it years on,
right,
is just annoying. And like, people still bring it up, not as much. And again, that wasn't the sole reason why, but if we're talking about like an accumulation of that's part of it too. I hate talking about that stuff. You know what I mean? Because it's like, I've moved on.
It's your chance to redefine yourself.
Yeah, yeah. That's part of it too. Baggage in the sense of like personal relationships, experiences that I've been through during that time that aren't even music related, that are all kind of associated to that time period. And my brand and my name kind of changed a lot within the city. Most people started looking to me as like a tastemaker and an event producer and a promoter, which is fine. And I definitely positioned myself that way.
And you've created some really cool, really successful events.
Yeah.
Like the block party on R Street.
Right, yeah. And I'm super proud of that stuff. But at the heart of everything, I'm an artist, you know what I mean? And I know that through all of that, I put my artistry to the wayside. Up until this point, I feel like a lot of the work that I've been putting out has been B-level, to me. And I'm just talking strictly about me.
You have high standards for yourself.
Yeah, and anybody who pursues anything will always have high standards for themselves, right? But to me, that's kind of the type of work I've been putting out. And if I'm to be honest, like a little soulless. Like I know I could give more of myself that I haven't, right? And that's why like a perfect transition is like meeting Frank, seeing his trajectory, but more than anything, seeing how much of himself that he puts out there, like, is crazy, you know? Like,
yeah.
Watching him perform from the very first open mic to now, even to this day, when I'm literally on stage with him, watching him from the back left, that's been like a blessing to watch that, witness that, be part of it. And so now it's kind of like cool to be able to try and get to that point with myself.
You've been working on the songs for Moments for a while now. How long have these songs been around?
The songs have been around more or less. They've been in like snippets naturally in memos for about a year and a half. But they didn't really start coming into form until I got back from tour this past April. I left for a little bit extra longer than the boys when they went home because I just took the opportunity while I was in England, my home, to stay in London for an additional week and kind of like revisit where I grew up. I've been back a couple of times since I moved, but that was my first time going back as an adult and like to be in London and be able to do things that adults are allowed to do. It was like a very life-changing, eye-opening week for me. I spent the week completely alone for the most part. I mean, I'd meet up with friends from school. More or less, my days were spent just with me in a coffee shop. And that was when I actually started really forming and arranging these songs. And a lot of the sounds and the tones that you hear on this EP are completely inspired by just the vibes that I felt in London that specific week. Some of the sounds on this record are very like pretty, but most of them I would say are kind of jank and like distorted and grimy.
Gritty on purpose.
Gritty on purpose, because that's just what London makes me feel like, and I love it. And that's always been a side of me that I feel like I owed to growing up in London. And so I really try to present that in the music.
Tell me a little bit about the title track, Moments, and then we'll give it a listen.
Moments was a song that I had been tinkering around on piano for a while. I'd always told myself, like, this is such a cool progression. I have to, like, turn this into a song, and it needs to have this, and it needs to have this. Naturally, my songwriter mind and, like, my mind of, like, how things are supposed to be done. And then, like, after all of this experience and touring and stuff, I just realized it could be a minute if it wants to be, you know. I should just do it and write it however it makes me feel best. So it's a short song, but the song is essentially about wanting to relive times and moments in my life and wishing that those moments could last forever. It was written about a girl that I was in a relationship with. What's cool about all these songs, though, and kind of what I've realized, and again, like just lends into the whole exhibit, is that all of these songs, I can literally replace the person that I'm writing it about with music, and it still makes sense to me. And that's kind of like the whole thing of like the exhibit is me realizing there's this amazing parallel between your relationships with people, real life physical relationships with people, and your relationships with your passions and like intangible things like your job or stuff like that. And those all relate and are similar to me. They can all break your heart.
Let's give it a listen. This is the title track, Moments, by Jamesy.
Turn
So the first time I heard you play that song live, it was a little bit more of a straightforward bluesy soul song.
Yeah.
What are some of the production inputs that you did to change the vibe of that song?
This song's really special to me because it's one of my first proper collaborations with like one of my best friends, Jordan Moore. And Jordan, obviously, and I play together in The Lovemakers, and he's a fantastic artist himself. And he heard the song when I was working on it initially. He just came over. I think he literally stopped by to like borrow gear. Mm-hmm. And he heard me just tinkering around the song, and he was just like, dude, you just send me the project file. And I reluctantly did, because the song, like I said, is very special and important to me.
What were you reluctant about?
Just wanting to hand something like off like that to someone. You know,
yeah.
Even though it's Jordan and he's like one of my best mates,
right.
That song like has a lot of meaning to me, and it is like the title track to the EP and like, you know, all this stuff. And so I just reluctantly was like, sure. I honestly didn't want to like have a discussion about it. So I just was like, here, take it. At the time, Jordan was like highly influenced by like some electronic music he was listening to. And he and I have been like over the year, especially, have become very close, because just on the road. But also more than that, like we share a lot of music with each other, and his style and his influences are a lot different than mine. But it's been over the past 2 months in particular, I feel like they've been kind of coming together, mm-hmm. which is kind of cool. That was another reason why I was reluctant to give it to him, because I was like, dude, our influences aren't even like close, you know. But anyway, so he took it and then just worked on it. And then we had a little trip to like Tahoe. We stayed in the cabin for a couple of days to just kind of hang out with the boys and clear our minds, and he was just working on it relentlessly there. So then it got to the point where I was like a little nervous, because he was putting so much time into it that I was like, you're gonna make it really hard, because if it sounds garbage, I'm gonna like feel so bad and to have to say
it,
like,
could make your friendship a little weird.
Yeah yeah, basically. And then I have to see this guy again for like 2-3 months in a bus. Anyway, so he was working on it, and then like we tracked some vocals up there in the cabin. A lot of those vocals were tracked in the cabin up in Tahoe. And then when he showed me the track there, I was just blown away. I was like, dude, this literally like captures what this song feels and what I was going through and what it meant to me. The track is like just as much as it is mine at this point. The whole first half is basically me. And then as soon as all the craziness happens,
yeah.
That's all Jordan.
Tell me about the process of recording this. Which parts did you do by yourself, and when did you invite other people to add to the track?
During the time of recording this EP, we were also recording stuff for the Hobo record coming out this Friday, the 13th September. I was just in the mix, you know. I was like sitting in the studio and like watching these things go down, and like I was just inspired to just capture moments, right?
And so you just rolled your eyes when you said the title track of your own record.
I was just like inspired to like, really, that was just my thing. And so that piano part was recorded in the basement of Wall on this janky piano that now has become like the iconic staple to the Moments exhibit. Is the first thing I moved into that room,
that piano,
and that piano, and probably be the last thing that I move out, and I'm just probably going to hold on to it. But I recorded that in the basement on an iRig interface and an NT1. Nothing special, just had the thing over the top, played it, and it sounds great, you know. And like, to me, like the whole writing process here to me has been just like, just capture your feelings and emotions, capture the moment and the performance, and that's it. I know that there are lots of mistakes and like lots of technical flaws in this EP and on the songs, but that's kind of the point, you know. Like, life isn't perfect.
It sounds like the way that you leveled up was you just stopped being precious.
Stop being precious, you know. And I think Jeff from Sun Monks said something to me on my 30th birthday when I called him up, and I was just mad depressed, because that's how I am on my birthdays. And he was like, James, music's just a tool, dude. And it really resonated with me. Fast forward like a year or two later, I'm really taking that to heart. Music is a tool. It's a tool for me to be able to process feelings and emotions and what I'm going through in life. But it's not like the end all be all, the sole thing that brings me joy and success in life. And I think if you put that level of pressure on anything, whether it's your wife, your girlfriend, your best friend, your job, I think you're just destined to be never satisfied. And I think that's like something that a lot of artists and people in general go through.
He's got a good fallback career as a musical life coach.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. He's got the slight bitterness in his tone. It's beautiful.
I want to skip to the third track on the record. Tell me a little bit about Nerf Guns.
So Nerf Gun is like a real fun song, but it's also my most vulnerable song in the sense that it's a goofy song to me. And like, I've never really written goofy songs before. But again, in the spirit of just like caring less, I just went with what I felt. And Nerf Gun is about a moment that I had in my most recent relationship that I'm no longer in while we were courting. She came over for dinner, and then after dinner, we just broke out in this like super intense 15, 20 minute long Nerf gun fight, right? And I'm talking about hiding behind couches. I'm talking about hiding behind doors, like going for blood. I think I shot her like in the eye and like she got kind of mad. I don't do that. Do you know what I mean?
Like, yeah.
I don't. That's a very goofy, silly thing to do. But like, that's kind of how you know that you're like falling for someone. And obviously like they're bringing this side of you that rarely comes out, right? And so when we finally like started, like, you know, when we were officially boyfriend, girlfriend or whatever, we both referenced that moment as like something that we both like remember. And essentially is like, I know at least for me was when I realized I fell in love with her, you know? Fast forward 3 years, like we're not together anymore. I don't know what the future holds. But no matter what happens and however we feel about each other in the present time or future time, I can always reference that time. And it just brings me so much like joy just thinking about that literally that moment, right? And it just brings me a lot of joy. And I just think that was like a very epiphany moment for me. That was an epiphany moment for me when it came to just the overall vibe and theme of the exhibit. Is I want that part of the exhibit for people to realize, like, this isn't just about like the moments that you fell in love with a person. This is about the moment you realized you loved music, or you loved your dog, or your firstborn, or anything.
Or that you were capable of feeling and sharing love.
Yeah, that just that feeling, right? And I feel like in life, like life is such a long road with so many ups and downs. I think the more that you can like hold on to and remember those tiny moments and little times in your life, that gives you like the real motivation to wake up the next day. Because I was in a bad place like two years ago and I didn't even know it. That's kind of like part of this whole thing too, is like I was in complete denial that I was depressed. I was a depressed person and I didn't know why. I was a depressed person because my artistry and where I was with art and how I felt about art and music in particular wasn't making me feel good, and I wasn't confident at all.
And from the outside, people who know you in town couldn't necessarily tell that you were depressed because you were working really hard and you were putting on spectacular music events.
And that's what most depressed people do.
Yeah.
Is they cover up how they feel by doing these things to stay busy and to look busy. My upbringing too, like, I was just kind of taught that depression, being depressed was weak, you know, which is a very old fashioned and silly point of view, but it is what it is, yeah. I was in denial. I was in complete denial. But when I realized and accepted like where I was at, that's the only time I was able to fix that. And I took a break from music and started working at a brewery and started to broaden my circles instead of living in this echo chamber. It was amazing. And like all the stresses seemed to like fade away, you know. There's more to life than just music and trying to make that your thing, you know?
Well, let's listen to the music that came out of that Nerf Gun story.
Yeah.
This is Nerf Guns by Jamesy.
Back in the day, I was afraid to play along with your game. Look what it left me with. Who would have known? You'd carve a piece out of my heart. It was something in your eyes, though. I couldn't let go the chance of you being the only one that I love.
You to shoot me with your Nerf gun. Nerf gun.
to the time when love was innocent. The thrill of the chase made even greater by the fact the catch is imminent. And I know that I should probably keep it running, babe, but you got me stuck. Wrapped around your trigger finger, pull me tight. No, it ain't an arrow, but this little foam bullet pushed its way through my heart. Yeah. I know I can't explain it. I just want you to shoot me with your Nerf gun. Nerf gun. I know I can't escape it. I wish that you would shoot me with your Nerf gun.
Tell me who else is playing on that song, Nerf Guns, with you.
So on that song is Aaron Smith, who's like local dude, really good trumpet player. Like, you'll always catch him at Shady. I think he plays with like Element Brass Band. And yeah, I just called him in one day just to add some sweetness and class to the track. And it's really cool. There's a segment of the song where it's just basically a trumpet solo, but there are two trumpets. And what happened was, it was kind of like a happy accident, but he did one take of a solo, and then he did another take of a solo. And then we just decided, just to see how it sounded, we'd pan him left and right, each take, left and right.
And you layered them.
And then, yeah, and then just put them on top of each other. And it worked out. And it, like, when you listen to it in headphones, and when you're or if you're really able to, like, take advantage of the left and right, it's really cool, because it just kind of, to me, that is the, that's like the fight. Do you know what I mean? That's like the Nerf gun fight, and the Nerf bullets just going back and forth. So that was really cool. But on the song also, there's David Bayes, plays bass with us in Love Makers. Bassie's on that track. And me. Oh, and Harlequin actually wrote the second verse for me. Harlequin Rose wrote the second verse for me. And I knew I wanted to, like, try and, with this song, I wanted to try and break away from, like, what I normally do. And I've always been a fan of her, like, quick delivery, wordy stuff. And that's stuff that I like to sing too, by myself, like, when I'm singing along to people's songs. But it's hard to write, yeah, because my mind doesn't really think that way right now. And so it was really cool, because I shared with her the song and the idea, and she, like, within, like, a day or two just shot that back to me, and I was like, whoa, I don't even know if I can deliver this, you know? And she was like, yeah, you can. And so it worked out.
I'm talking with Jamesy about that song, Nerf Guns, and all the other songs on his new record, Moments. He's launching the record with an art installation at Ice Blocks on R Street and 16th in Midtown Sacramento. And we've mentioned it a little bit, so let's talk about that exhibit at Ice Blocks. It's an art installation, and each space is built around a different track on the record.
Correct.
So, like, what are people going to see?
So, basically, it is a four-roomed art installation exhibit. And each room is just themed off of each song. And if you follow me on Instagram, that's what I use the most, you would have seen me. I mean, I tease it like every day. So you'll kind of get a taste of like what visually you're going to see.
The other day you posted a video of you spray painting old cell phones.
Right. I'm actually really excited about that one, because that is a collaboration with a really super talented artist in town. She doesn't live in town, but she's from here. Her name's Rora Blue. She has this amazing project called the Unsent Text Project. And I've followed her for a while now. And the whole concept of her project is like people anonymously submit to her these texts that they wish they would have sent to like so-and-so, right? And the texts are like hilarious, they're sad, they're cynical, they're everything. And like she'll pick a color each month, I think. And then based off of that color, she just picks which text she feels like vibes with that color. Anyway, so I just like when I started this project, just reached out to her just on a whim. And I was like, yo, like, I've been super inspired by your work. This is what I'm working on. And I would love to somehow like collab, like get you in there in some form. So anyway, the phones that I was spray painting are going to be like littered throughout the exhibit, and each phone's going to have one of her unsent texts like next to it with the associated color. So I'm really excited about that, because I've reached out to friends and had them pick out ones that they thought were funny or sad or whatever, just impactful. And so yeah, I'm really excited about that one.
So we heard Moments, and then we just heard Nerf Guns. Tell me about the space for each of those two songs.
So Moments is represented by the whole exhibit itself, right? So to me, the exhibit represents a lot of things, but one of the things that it represents also is my ideal perception of what a strong relationship is, right? And to me, it's two strong, independent beings that can do their own thing on their own and can support themselves doing what they do, and in a given moment, either belong together or don't. And I think that's the overarching art piece, is that there's this exhibit that even if the music wasn't attached to it, people could experience this exhibit and make up their own interpretations, and I want them to, of how they feel when they walk through each room. And then there's the music, which there are going to be people that listen to it on Spotify and Apple Music that have no idea that this art installation exists with it, right? So I just think that alone creates a very cool situation. I'm just trying to, with this exhibit, I'm really trying to create these different scenarios for people to experience the art. And some people will know that they're associated, obviously, like on this. Anyone who's hearing this will know that they're associated. But even still, like, I would encourage people to go through without listening to the music, and then go through after listening to the music, or go through while you're listening to the music. There's so many different ways for you to experience this exhibit. And I want to leave it completely up to the person who goes. I'm not going to have any like signage telling people to do anything. You do what you want. Do you know what I mean? You do what
create
makes you
your own experience.
Create your own experience, and you do whatever you want, whatever makes you feel good at that time. So
I want to pump up the energy a little bit. Let's listen to Morning, and then we'll talk about it after.
Cool.
One day I look back and realize what I had when I was good. I didn't need nothing apart from your love. Cause maybe we should have taken things a little slower and saved my heart from getting bruised up along with my soul. I woke up this morning, tired of the feeling, a feed of you. Cause who am I kidding, acting like I'm over being with you? Cause I don't wanna be alone. No, I don't wanna be alone. I don't wanna be left. I don't wanna be touched unless it's by you. Unless it's by you. My soul.
this morning, tired of the feeling, a feeling for you.
Tell me a little bit about the backstory on Morning.
So Morning was a song that I wrote in May, at least, or late April. I just got back from having this amazing like time on tour and like being in England and visiting family in England and spending time in London, like rediscovering like my roots. And then I get home and it's like back to regular programming, right? And I'm like going downstairs, getting coffee, seeing all the same people. And I mean, that was nice too. It was nice to be at home. But then I realized I had to process. So basically what happened was I got out of this relationship and then immediately went on tour. So I had to process that while I was on the road.
You don't have a lot of time to digest it.
Right. So I was able to digest it. I was able to digest a lot of it. A lot of the more mental, like meta type stuff I was able to digest. But there's a whole different ball game when you're physically back in the arena and like seeing your circle of friends and they're all asking you questions and like you're seeing places that you used to go and you fall back into your daily habits, right? And then there's these gaps in the day that used to be made up by this person.
And you're back in town, so there's the chance or risk of bumping into
right,
that person
exactly,
too.
Right, exactly. So there's all that. It just kind of reopened a lot of like just feelings and emotions that I was feeling like initially. And Morning was a song that I wrote literally in the morning. I was laying in bed and I woke up and I just kind of had this kind of moment of like, I wouldn't call it weakness. It was just like sheer honesty. I was like, man, I miss her. You know what I mean? And I still care about her and I still love her. And I just don't want to be with anyone else, right? In reality, that is what I captured in the song. That's what the song is about, is that raw emotion of like, man, I miss this person. I want to be with them and I don't want to be with anyone else. And I don't want anyone else to touch me other than this person. Everyone has those moments of like fallback and weakness when you're going through some sort of breakup. And so more of what I missed is the companionship of a person, right? Because like I naturally went down the road of like, why did this happen? Blah, blah, blah. And then, you know, obviously I got to the point where I was like, this is good. This is right. This was the right thing that was supposed to happen. But naturally everybody wants to have that person, you know? And that's more or less what I chalked it up to. It was like, it was a realization that I do, like everyone else, like I miss the companionship of having that person that you can share like moments and memories with and like experiences and like that person you can talk to who isn't like your bandmate and isn't like your friend or whatever, you know? They like hit on levels that no regular friend can hit on. That's more or less what that song was about. And the room that's associated to that, I'm really excited about because we designed the room to be sideways. So the bed is sideways and up against the wall, and the end tables are sideways and up against the wall. And I've tried to be very specific and purposeful about things that are in that room that completely pertain to me and this person. In that room also, I'm collaborating with this really dope artist from Denver. I teased some of his work the other day, but he does a lot of cool, like, sensual imagery of couples and, like, a lot of complete opposite, like, very depressed, like, sad stuff. But he uses a lot of lines and streaks. And so those images are going to be incorporated into that room. And that room essentially represents how, like, the bedroom and the bed essentially is such a holy, sacred place within a relationship. Is where you share your most intimate sensual experiences, as well as probably your worst fights and truths, you know? And so I just, that room's going to represent the contrast between those two within that room. Sorry.
I want to go back to a relationship you mentioned earlier and how it feels different, which is the neighborhood in London where you grew up. What was it like when you were growing up there? And what was it like when you were revisiting it for that week?
I think the biggest thing that I re-remembered is just how amazingly diverse it is in London, you know?
What neighborhood is it?
Well, I grew up in Peckham.
Okay.
Which is like southeast London. It's almost like Oak Park.
So it's going through some changes, and who lives there and what it looks like.
Yeah, it's got nice coffee shops that people sit at now. You still might get stabbed, but like it's more or less like a lot nicer than it used to be. Just diversity, so many different influences. Do you know what I mean? Because, like, honestly, after that trip, I kind of realized that, and this might be dramatic, a dramatic way of like expressing and explaining this, but moving from London to Roseville was kind of traumatic. Do you know what I mean? And I didn't really realize it until I visited as an adult. But like when I really thought about it, that is such a culture shock, going from the most diverse city in the world to like essentially like white America. All the diversity was just sapped out of my life. Not just like diversity in races, but like culture and ideas and theologies and you name it, you know? And it became very just like this is what you have now. Well,
and Roseville's a much more spread out, spaced out town.
Yeah.
People aren't piled on top of each other.
Yeah. No, I used to sprint across the streets whenever when I first moved, because I didn't understand that the flashing hand meant like nobody else should cross to attempt. I thought it meant stop. So I would like walk halfway across the street, which is the size of like a motorway, right? And this is a neighborhood street. And I would just stop, you know? And like people would just drive by me like, what's this guy doing? It was such a contrast in every way you can think of. The size of the portions of food, the size of the roads, the people,
the heat.
The heat. Even like how nice people were, so nice in Roseville. And in London, they're more like New Yorkers. You know what I mean? Like nobody really says hi and like, how are you doing to each other? And like over here, it's always like, hi, how are you doing? You know, like. And it was weird. I used to get, not offended, I used to get weirded out when someone would say hi to me and ask me how I'm doing. Like, you only ask someone that you know that question, not someone you don't know. Because why do you care? Maybe traumatic is like a very, I'm highly dramatizing it. But like, that's the only word I can think of to describe just the stark contrast of that move.
It's a sharp left turn.
It's a sharp, super sharp left turn.
We have a little bit of time left. So this album has been in the works for a little while now, and part of why it was on the back burner is because, as you mentioned earlier, you were on tour with Hobo Johnson and the Lovemakers.
Right, right.
Tell me the backstory about meeting Frank and how you came to join Hobo Johnson and the Lovemakers.
So I met Frank at an open mic, like you do in SAC. He came in, I remember hearing him play, and I was like, instantly, I was like, I don't know if I like this, but I'm intrigued. And he was at that point in time, he just quit his job and he was on this like whole, I need however many, like $15 a day to live or whatever. And so I bought one of his demo CDs and was just like, dude, you should come over tomorrow and just hang out. I'd love to get to know you and just see what you're trying to do. And I was just instantly like drawn into whatever he was doing. But like I said, I didn't know if I liked it or not.
He's a charismatic guy.
Yeah, but I instantly was like, this is cool. I mean, I wouldn't even say it was cool. I'm like, this is weird. I'm always attracted to that, right? So then he comes over the next day and we're just talking, we're hanging out. And like my ex at the time, she has like really good taste in music. I remember bringing that CD home to her. I'm like, listen to this. Like, what do you think? And she would always be like the person where if she was like, it's good, then I would be like, okay, so it's good.
It passed the test.
So I showed her and she was like, this is really good. She literally was like, I could see kids these days just like immediately gravitating to this. And so he came over the next day and we made him dinner and we hung out. And then I showed him this song I was working on. It was just a piano, a progression at that point.
It didn't have words yet.
No words. I had the melody for the hook and I played it for him. And then within like an hour or so, he had dropped his verse on there. I had written like somewhat of a hook. I kind of explained to him the theme and blah, blah, blah. We didn't touch that song for 2 years. And it's not like we didn't become like we weren't close friends. We were always close friends, but I became more of like a, not a mentor, but like whenever he had questions about things in town or specific people, he would just come to me and ask me and just be like, what do you know about this guy? What do you think about this and that?
You develop trust with each other very quickly.
Right. Yeah. And so it was really cool to be in that position with him because I did my best to be very just blunt and honest with him about everything. That was my whole thing. And I think that's why he and I are still friends to this day, because no matter like where we are in life, I will always be that way to him, you know? So anyway, fast forward 2 years and the Peach Scone Tiny Desk video comes out. What's crazy is before that video even came out, I had asked him if he would help me shoot my submission, which I was like, dude, it'd be cool if we did that song.
This song.
See you. Yeah, it'd be cool if we did See You Again and recorded it and just submitted it. And who knows? Like, who knows, right? So we were planned to shoot that a week after they dropped theirs. And so they dropped theirs. And of course, like, it blew up.
Yeah, it's at like 15 million views now.
So when that week, that day was approaching, at the same time, Ali Youssefi was just going downhill.
Right. And he was one of the driving forces behind the Warehouse Artist Lofts.
Yeah, that's his vision. He passed. That night, I went into the community room of where we live on the piano, just finished the song. So at that point, there was only a hook and Frank's verse. And then I wrote the very beginning, which essentially is like a verse, but it's like an intro as well. And that whole part was like just completely about Ali. And so it was kind of crazy and eerie. And the next day Frank came over. I was like, let's shoot this video. And it wasn't about like Tiny Desk anymore. I was like, we just need to shoot this video.
It was for Ali.
Yeah. And so we shot the video and that has now become like what it is. That's kind of like my main video that I have under like James as Jamesy. And it's like kind of just crazy serendipitous. But to me, what blows my mind is when I think about it now is the whole beginning of that song, the birth of that song was the birth of this relationship with someone who I'm incredibly inspired by and lucky to be called my friend and vice versa. And then it was finished with literally the death of like someone who was equally as inspiring to me and is a big reason why I'm still in SAC. I was getting ready to move. And this guy, Ali, taps me on the shoulder at Lowbrow and is like, hey man, I'm a big fan of your music and I'm working on this thing that you might be interested in. We need to keep art and people like you in the city. And so like to bring it full circle, like it is the perfect song to end the whole EP on. And again, it's just incredibly serendipitous that the exhibit exists on our street in this area that is like growing, progressing, whether it's for better or for worse, right? Depending on your perspective. People like to throw the word gentrified around. That's an easy way to explain what's going on. But to me, I really, with this exhibit, want to push the conversation of like, how do we as locals who have been here and been at the front lines and the trenches, how do we integrate into this change? Because this change is going to happen. It's going to happen in Sacramento because it's just that type of city and it's cool and it deserves that. But like, I just feel a natural responsibility as someone who's been here for a long amount of time and has positioned themselves to know certain people to utilize that. You know, and like, thank God Mike Keller entertained this idea for a second, allowed me to like be in his space because for a week, they're going to be exposed to like deep Sacramento culture. They're going to meet some characters and I want to bring all those characters out. I want to bring out the Sean Burners, the Dancing Kennys, the HOFs, the Good Companies, do you know, like all those characters need to come out and like these people need to be exposed to that because there's so much more to discover in Sacramento.
Well, I think that's a good place to leave it.
Yeah.
Congratulations on the new record.
Thanks, man.
And best of luck with the exhibit.
I appreciate it.
We're going to go out on See You Again by Jamesy featuring Hobo Johnson.
You'll always leave a hole in my heart and memories in my mind to discover all of the dreams we had will never be over. I know this ain't goodbye. I know I'm gonna see you again. Until that time, I know you're gonna be with me, my friend. It's gonna take some time till I see you again. I can't wait for the time till I see you again.
Afraid to look the world dead in the eye. If it looked back, do you think it'd see that we are so surprised? I mean, with you leaving the school and me not knowing what to do, I think the world will tell we're totally terrified. And I think you're gonna do great and get A's and make friends and also work here at this stupid pizza place I hate. I hope I'm famous. But the songs that I'm making aren't making any playlists. It's a shame, but I'm shameless, you know. We got our whole life to live, so why worry about carcinogens and how much time we'll get to spend? I love you more than words could ever say. A feeling consecutive words could just never ever.
I know this ain't goodbye. I know I'm gonna see you again. Until that time, I know you're gonna be with me, my friend. It's gonna take some time.
That's Jamesy with music from the Moments EP. The Moments art installation opens September 16th at the Ice Blocks in Midtown Sacramento. After that, Jamesy will be on tour with Hobo Johnson and the Lovemakers. That will be in support of his new record, The Fall of Hobo Johnson. We have a video of Jamesy performing that song, See You Again, with Hobo Johnson. That's on our website, capradio.org. And you're listening to Insight Music on your NPR station, Cap Radio.